It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Tomorrow marks exactly a century since the assassination that set in motion the events that led to the start of World War I. It was on June 28, 1914, that Archduke Francis Ferdinand, nephew and heir of the Austrian Emperor, was shot and killed while riding in an open car through the Bosnian capital. The assassin, was an ethnic Serbian nationalist named Gavrilo Princip. Though the United States would not end up entering the war until a few years later, the conflict would go on to have a profound impact on America and the city of Pittsburgh. Post-Gazette writer and historian Len Barkowski has written about the events that happened exactly 100 years ago and joins us by phone. Len Barkowski, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hey, thanks, Paul. Thanks for thinking of me.
Well, you wrote a very interesting piece, Eyewitness 1914, in the Post-Gazette. And I guess the first question that comes to mind is, why would an ethnic Serbian nationalist with the curious name of Gavrilo Princip want to murder the Archduke?
It really is a very interesting story, and much of that was not reflected necessarily in the next day reports in the Post Gazette and in other newspapers. The Austro-Hungarian Empire had annexed Bosnia-Herzegovina. It was a mixed ethnic area, and the Serbians certainly saw it as part of Greater Serbia. A lot of this has got to sound very familiar to the people who watched and were saddened by the civil war in that same part of the world that followed the breakup of the Soviet Union and the fall of the Iron Curtain. The Serbians were furious about this annexation, and they focused on the Archduke, who was making what was pretty much an annual visit to that part of the world to show the flag, the Austrian, the Hungarian flag in that part of the world. Sadly, or ironically, one of the reasons that Francis Ferdinand, the heir to the throne, was the victim of this was because he was seen as more of a liberal, and it was thought that once he would take over the throne from his elderly uncle, that the case for Serbian takeover of this area would be weakened because of greater sensitivity on the part of the Austrians to the various ethnic feelings in that part of the world. In effect, Francis Ferdinand was targeted because he was seen as someone who would make life easier for the people in Bosnia-Herzegovina. No good, proving again, perhaps, that no good deed goes unpunished.
Right. So explain the timeline here, Len, how what really amounts to a tragic comedy of errors unfolded.
Yeah, and it's something that we certainly hope modern political leaders keep in mind. The great sadness from these events in the Balkans, it did indeed show, and this is not original thinking here, is that, you know, small disputes can pull in great powers, and the result can be a war that none of the sides really wanted or expected. There was large numbers of overlapping alliances here. The Serbians, Slavic-speaking people, speaking a Slavic language, they were seen as the little brothers of the Tsarist Empire. The Austrians naturally had an alliance with Germany, their neighbor with whom they shared a common language. The French were always worried about Germany becoming too powerful, so they allied themselves with the Russians, even though France was a democracy and Russia was an autocracy. They found sort of an unnatural alliance there, and that, of course, upset the Germans, who have always feared encirclement. And England, off the coast there, was always worried about whether or not one power, whether that's France under Napoleon or German under Wilhelm, would grow too powerful. So they kind of stayed on the edges, but tended to ally themselves more with the French in this dispute. This interlocking number of alliances resulted in the Austrians demanding justice from the Serbians for this terrible crime, the murder of their heir apparent. This would be what would be the modern equivalent. This would be the modern equivalent of we elect a we elect a new president. He's not yet president, but he's been elected. And during that period, before he or she becomes president, the president-elect is assassinated by agents of a foreign power. The Austrians wanted revenge. They made demands that the Serbians found unacceptable. The Serbian ally, again, a very small country, Serbia's large ally, Russia, began to mobilize its troops. That mobilization resulted in a warning from the Germans, the allies of the Austrians, and gosh, we really are in the weeds here. That mobilization then resulted in the German mobilization, resulted in French mobilization, and ultimately British mobilization as well. All the major powers are suddenly at each other's throats, and this was indeed a war that didn't spread around the world to Africa, to Asia, and ultimately a few years later to the Americas when the United States entered the war.
So the deadliest consequences of this political murder is mostly hidden from view. But there's a comedy of errors that surrounds the assassination itself. Just these shadowy individuals who are following the Archduke as he makes his way through the Bosnian capital in an open car with his wife. And there are a couple of different attempts, and it almost seems as though, compared to the way things would happen today, that this is happening in slow motion, and it's almost the circumstances that ultimately result in the Archduke's death are could really be characterized as ridiculous in a sense.
Yeah, it follows with it's a tragedy of errors. I think might be the best way of putting it. There were at least three. It turns out there were at least three assassins along the streets there. One of whom tried a bomb. The bomb failed. Another of whom sort of lost heart. When the Archduke's car, the Archduke's open car, came by, when the Archduke's driver made a wrong turn, his car suddenly slowed, and that gave the opportunity for Princip to fire not only at the Archduke but also to fatally wound the Archduke's wife.
And the first attempt was a bomb, right?
Correct. A bomb, which in the report that we had in the what was then the Pittsburgh Gazette Times the next morning, a bomb that the Archduke was able to bat away. Details are cloudy on that. Again, this was a first day report, and first day reports are always rough drafts of history. He was able the Archduke was able to bat that away, and imagine that sort of thing happening again in the modern era. The leader would immediately be surrounded by security people. He would be taken to an undisclosed secure location.
There's no way.
Archduke Franz Ferdinand continued with his trip through Sarajevo. He was on his way to the hospital to visit with some of his aides who had been injured in that bomb attack when the wrong turn led to his death and the death of his wife.
Right. There's no way that if something like that happened today, that you would later see the same man who was the target of an assassination be riding, be out in public, in an open vehicle, and be in a sense completely vulnerable to yet a second attack within hours of the first one. It just seems crazy that it would happen. And there's a really interesting account in the old Pittsburgh Gazette Times, and quoting from the editorial that they wrote, "Were a writer of fiction to heap upon his hero such a succession of calamities, he would speedily be accused of inexcusable departure from the canons of realism," end quote. And that was the editorial that appeared in the Gazette Times on the day, or actually a couple of days after the assassination occurred. People in Pittsburgh, Len, I get the feeling that they were following this. There was keen interest, and that the paper's editors knew this because there were so many refugees and immigrants coming from that part of the world into Pittsburgh at that time, 100 years ago.
These folks would have been in the conflict that developed. These people would have been on all sides. A couple of things about our coverage. First, the story did fall off the front page fairly shortly. It was a kind of a one-day wonder. In the early part of July, no one realized, or very few people realized, just how serious this was likely to become. June, of course, is the big month for weddings. A lot of weddings were in that day's edition of the Gazette Times and in subsequent days, and a lot of those folks, in their wedding announcements, they were describing their plans for long vacations in Europe, grand tours that would take them to all the European capitals, and with a return maybe in August or September. They didn't know it at the time when they got on those boats to take them to Europe, but almost all of their trips were going to be dramatically shortened as war broke out both in the West and in the East within a few weeks.
Right. It took about a month for all of the behind the scenes events and the reaction.
Correct.
And the repercussions of the assassination to kind of come together. But once they did, by August, the world was at war, or at least just about all of Europe was. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. My guest is Post-Gazette writer Len Barkowski, discussing the 100th anniversary of the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand, which started World War I. If you have a comment or question, you can call us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Just about any aspect of this is something that that Len Barkowski could clarify. You can also reach us at apparently we cannot take calls for this segment, but you can reach us via email. You can reach us via email at ESSPGH at WESA.FM or on Twitter at ESSPGH hashtag EPLive. And
there are, Paul, no inevitabilities, I think, in history, but the effects of World War I really and truly still are with us. Trouble in the Balkans, at the end of the 20th century can be traced back to those problems at the beginning of the 20th century, as ethnic groups, Serbs, Croatians, Slovenians, Bosnians, continued to battle over property, and often looked back in their histories to events that had taken place a century or two centuries or 500 years earlier. The creation of the Soviet Union would have been impossible. The fall of the Romanovs would have been pretty much impossible without World War I, which weakened the Tsarist system, which also resulted in something that would have been greeted by a lot of people in Pittsburgh at that time, which also resulted in freedom for the Baltic states, for example. Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia became free countries as the Tsarist Empire disintegrated and before the Soviet Empire was able to take control of those areas. And the saddest thing may have been the rise of Hitler. Hitler was an Austrian living in Germany of little education and apparently with a very bad Austrian accent. It was inconceivable in 1914 that one, the German ruling family could have fallen, and two, that a man such as Hitler, in effect a foreigner and a man of no family, no position, no education, that he could have risen to become leader of what became a united Germany and Austria, with tragic consequences for the world.
And I want to go back to the assassin, Princip. Mm-hmm. He's opposed to the Austrian takeover of his home region. He alone murders the Archduke. It would seem on the surface that this would look to many to be an isolated incident in a way, couldn't it? I mean, he wasn't acting necessarily on behalf of the Serbian powers, was he?
You may hear from some Serbian listeners on this question. The research continues into these issues, but there was a very good book that came out last year called "The Sleepwalkers: How Europe Went to War in 1914" by an English historian named Christopher Clark, and he really lays out a very good case for Serbian security services being involved in the planning of this event. And again, the irony of the planning was the security services may not have necessarily informed their own government in effect, a rogue portion, if you want to take the most charitable view of this, a rogue portion of the Serbian secret services may have been acting in part on their own in arranging for these assassins.
Would a good analogy or comparison here be maybe if the CIA were to act on its own and carry out an assassination without the approval or even the knowledge of the White House, that kind of thing?
I think that's exactly the sort of situation that we can find parallels to. There's strong evidence that in Pakistan today, the security service often takes actions that are not approved or not even part of the knowledge of the Pakistani government. Rogue agents are a staple of fiction. Espionage fiction. The Balkans in that period, just before the First World War, have been and continue to be an excellent setting for such books because the situation is so complicated.
Now,
the motivations are often not entirely clear.
So we're still sifting through the historical evidence to find out exactly who set Mr. Princip up to be the Lee Harvey Oswald of this incident.
Right, exactly right. And the role of the Serbian Secret Services, the role of Princip, remain controversial.
I want to look again before we wrap this up at the impact of World War One, or as it was called then, the Great War. They hadn't numbered it yet because no one had any idea that there was another World War to follow. The Great War, as it was called, had a profound impact on Pittsburgh, did it not?
It certainly did. As I said, it remade the map. There were lots and lots of immigrants here in Pittsburgh who had fled their homelands because they were, in their viewpoint, occupied or unjustly ruled by the Austro-Hungarian Empire. In the case of the Czechs, in the case of the Poles, by the Germans. In the case of some other of the Poles and some Lithuanian speakers, and the Tsarist Empire, which controlled huge swaths of territory, which did indeed for various periods become independent after the Tsarist Empire imploded.
So they
would have followed these events very, very closely. And ironies exist. In my own family, I had a cousin who came to this country in about 1910 from Lithuania. In 1917, he found himself in France fighting the Germans. He liked the Germans. The Germans had been all in all relatively good overlords for Lithuanian speakers. He hated the Russians, and he was fighting with the he was an American soldier. Fighting against the Germans on the Western Front when it was really the Russians that if he were going to fight anyone, it would have been the Russians who were oppressing his homeland. And there certainly would have been lots and lots of other immigrants who would have been drafted into the American Army who would have had similar mixed feelings and mixed emotions, not being quite sure whether or not they were fighting with the right allies. They certainly knew they were fighting on the right side as Americans, but they weren't necessarily sure they were fighting with the right allies.
Well, there's a lot of irony here, and really so much of history resulting from a wrong right turn, as it turned out, taken by the Archduke's motorcade. Tomorrow is the 100th anniversary of the assassination of Archduke Francis Ferdinand, which catapulted the world into the First Great War, or World War One. And the rest, as they say, is history. Len Barkowski writes for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Len, thanks so much for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh. We appreciate it.
You bet. And we're going to keep following this. We're going to keep following this with eyewitness columns and providing people with firsthand reports of how folks in Pittsburgh here saw the Great War as it developed and as the U.S. entered it in 1917.
Well, we'll be following it. And thank you so much for your great work.
All right. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Coming up, we'll hear about what's being done to restore the steps of the Southside Slopes. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.